Unfortunately, we had to cancel service this evening because there is no water at the in the building at the church. So they canceled, or we had to cancel service. It's actually been off all day. The city has it turned off. They're working on some kind of repair across the street, just a little ways up from the church. Pretty large hole actually in the side of the street, and quite a few workers, the water department. So hopefully it gets fixed today or this evening. So I apologize for any inconvenience. Hopefully most everybody saw the post, was able to see it. So if you didn't, I apologize, but we made it about 5 o'clock, close to that. Tried to do that in time to let everybody know. So again, hopefully most everyone saw it, and we do apologize. It's frustrating and was disappointed, but nothing we can do, kind of out of our control. So things seem to happen on Thursday nights a lot. I also saw there was a pretty large accident at 270 West near 23 and Allen Creek in that area. So had a couple lanes closed down, so that may have caused issues as well. So anyway, we're here, and I'm going to wait just to see if there's a few more that that is able to join before I get started. Decided to go ahead and come on here and just talk a little bit and share some things that's on my heart. And hopefully everyone has had a good day. Everyone's had a good good evening. So I'm glad for, again, everybody that's joining. If you're just joining, welcome. As I said, it's easier to not wear my glasses when I'm doing a live to be able to see, but it also means that I sometimes can't see the comments real well. So I'm not going to try to recognize everybody that's joining, but hopefully you'll get to join. There might be some more people coming on. Again, I know this was last minute. I'm going to go ahead and get started, but let me just say that you know, there's a lot for us as the church, as the body of Christ, to be praying about. We got a lot going on in our country. There's a lot going on in the world. A lot of situations, you know, all the flooding and the issues in North Carolina and Eastern Tennessee. And I know Georgia was affected and South Carolina as well, but not, I don't think the devastation was as much as it is in North Carolina. There's a lot of things. It's information coming out of there with what's going on. I know there's some of the interstates are closed, portions of it going to be closed until next year. Just a lot of devastation, a lot of heartbreaking stories that are starting to come out of there of people's loss. And I saw today, I think it was today, where the number of deaths is the largest in the history of hurricanes in the United States so far. And I know that there's no way they have recovered all of the bodies probably that were part of the loss. So we need to pray for North Carolina. I need to pray for them. I know there's a lot of people taking supplies and sending things. It's hard to know who you can trust. It's hard to know. I know just off the top of my head, one that I would trust would be Samaritan's Purse. So if you want to donate some money for that, for the help, I know they're on the ground over there. And I know that that's Franklin Graham's ministry, and they have they're reputable, and I know what they receive is what they're using it for. So if you would like to donate money, which you know, I encourage you to do that, pray about it, that would be somewhere that I would donate. So there's just a lot happening. We're seeing a lot that's going on. I just saw before I got on that a typhoon has hit Taiwan today. And so far it has dropped over 4 feet, almost 5 feet of rain for them. So they're dealing now with a lot of flooding and the high winds and a lot of loss. And there already been deaths that have been counted there. So that's going on right now in Taiwan on the other side of the world. So a lot to pray about. There's a lot. It's really honestly overwhelming. So I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about that, but it's worth mentioning. We need to pray for all of those that are affected by that. I'm sure there's people here in the United States that have family in Taiwan and over in those areas. So we can pray and it can make a difference. So I just want to encourage everyone to pray. And of course, pray for Israel. I kind of want to talk a little bit about that and what I want to talk about. So I won't say a whole lot about that right just yet. But we want to pray for Israel. Much is going on over there that's pretty detrimental to where we are. And so I just want to share. I'm going to go ahead and just start sharing what's on my heart. You know, most everybody knows that this time yesterday evening began Rosh Hashanah, however you want to say it. The fall feast, the fall holidays, the holy days of the fall that began last night at sundown. Rosh Hashanah means head of the year. And so it began in Israel. It would have been yesterday afternoon, I believe, our time, but at sundown here on this side of the world. And it began and starts in the fall feast. So these go all the way through the fall feast. The moves into Yom Kippur, which is Day of Atonement, and then finally culminates with Sukkot or Feast of Tabernacles. So we're right in the start of the fall feast. And so, you know, almost a year ago, October the 7th, Israel was attacked by Hamas, and that incited a war. That was actually at the end of the fall feast, right at the end of Sukkot or Tabernacles last year. They were attacked by Hamas, and that war began, and they're still at war. And since then, we know Hezbollah and Yemen have attacked. And just this week, Israel was attacked by Iran. So this Rosh Hashanah is different because of that attack from Iran. That's something that is unique in history, and that makes this Rosh Hashanah pretty different. And I believe that we could say that now the world is never going to be the same. Now that the war over there has taken this turn and this has happened, you know, the world's never going to be the same. So this will be a Rosh Hashanah that'll go down in the history of for Israel. And so, again, you know, it began last night. It's also called Yom Teruah, which is means the day of the shout, or the day of the loud blowing, the day, the Feast of Trumpets, which the Bible speaks about. And that is actually what Rosh Hashanah is, the modern name for the holiday, but the Bible speaks about the Feast of Trumpets. So it ends tomorrow night at sundown. And so we know that the trumpet sound, the sound of the trumpet is meant to be an awakening for the church. But I believe that it's also an awakening to the spirit of the world, especially now in this year that we are in this season. I believe that it is an awakening for the spirit of the world. And it's telling us that sound, it tells us to pay attention. It's time to be prepared for the second coming of the Messiah. So, you know, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh means head in Hebrew, and it's the head of the year. So this is when a shift can take place. I don't want to spend a lot of time, but, you know, this is the Bible speaks about the month of Nisan in scriptures being in the spring, being the first month of the year. And we know that is the religious calendar. This is this, the beginning of a civil calendar. And so because of a couple different places in Exodus where it speaks about the end of the year around Feast of Trumpets and around Yom Teruah, this has been considered, which beginning on the first of Tishrei, which is October in our calendar, this has kind of been adopted as the beginning of a new year. So this is the beginning of their civil calendar. So this is the head of the year. This is when they look at everything becoming a new beginning, and when it really a shift can take place. So this just isn't a holy day or a holiday, as we would call it, but the Bible calls it a Moedim, which we know is an appointed time, and it's an appointment. Even the word season in the scripture is the word Moedim, is it's an appointed time. So this is not just, we're going to celebrate July 4th, or we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving. This is something that God said and appointed in the scriptures. It's that time of purpose, and God sets it for us to pay attention and to remember what he's trying to keep us focused on. So, we preach Sunday about making our path straight, removing the things that make it crooked, getting the things out of the way, the things that in our life that would hinder us, the things that would cause us to maybe stray to the right or stray to the left, or, stay out of that direction. And, we talk Sunday about the word path. When we think of path, we think of something that's worn out, that's already been walked through, that's already been made, it's worn out. But the word path, as it's used in the Hebrew, is not something that's worn out, but it's literally a direction. And it's a direction in which becomes considered a path, or becomes such, after we take the first step towards God, and then he begins guiding us with the second step. So it's literally a direction. So when we speak about, a new beginning, and we speak about Rosh Hashanah, and we speak about the head of the year, and we speak about removing things out of our life, we know that, Rosh Hashanah is about repentance. It's about teshuvah, which is repentance in the Hebrew, which literally means returning. It's about introspection. It's about looking inside of us and, taking inventory of our heart and where our focus is, and bringing everything back into proper perspective. And so, we return, and if we move, get all the things out of the way that makes our path crooked, and we make our path straight, the way that we make it straight is that we begin to take that first step towards God, and then we begin to take the next step in obedience to the word and the things that we know we need to do to keep our focus on God, and then he begins to direct our path. So, he says his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So his word illuminates our feet, if you will, our steps, and then it puts the light on the path as we go in obedience. And so, Rosh Hashanah also begins what is called the 10 days of awe, or the awesome days, and awesome meaning reverence and in awe of God and who he is. And, we could even say the fear of God, and that means the reverence of God, and getting our reverence and getting our place back to where it needs to be, returning to where, it's easy. We talk about every year that this time of year, it's easy to get our focus, be distracted. And then, thankfully God sets this time of the year in the fall as the appointed time to bring us all together to meet with him, that he can get our focus back and he can, get us prepared, because he doesn't want us to be caught off guard. He doesn't want us to be left behind. He wants, whoever will to come and be able to be in a relationship with him, but ultimately be with him in the New Jerusalem. And so, you know, Teshuvah or repentance, that 10 days of awe. So that began last night. So the 10 days of awe beginning from the first night of Rosh Hashanah, and then 10 days that will end. When that 10 days is up, that it falls on the day of Yom Kippur or the day of atonement, as the Bible speaks about it, the day of forgiveness, the day of the covering of our sins. That's what atonement is. It's kippah, which is a covering. So we know that, you know, on the day of atonement, once a year, the high priest would go in and take the blood sacrifice, and there would be a covering over their sins for the year, and they would be forgiven, and they would be able to go into the new year then knowing that they're forgiven and the covenant blessing. So we know that our atonement was made through Jesus Christ and his blood. He became all of that. But it's about returning. But, you know, a lot of people say, well, if I'm saved, why do I need to repent? You know, repentance isn't about getting saved over and over again. It's not about making sure that, you know, we're saved or that we're right. It's repentance for those of us who are born again, those of us who are in covenant with God. It's about removing the things that hinder us from being in the fullness of a relationship with God. There's so much that God offers in that covenant, that Jesus' blood atoned for our sins. He didn't only forgive us of our sins, but he gave us access to to the covenant of God and grafted us in. And so there's so much more than just getting saved and going to church. There's a relationship. There's a developing and a growth that we can have, that we can experience the fullness of God and all that he is and all that he has to offer, because that's his desire. And so that's why we pursue obedience, so that we can go deeper into a relationship with him. So repentance isn't about, you know, oh, I got to get saved again this Sunday, or I get saved over and over again. But it's about removing the things that hinder us and returning back to where God is first and foremost. So, you know, at this time of year for Rosh Hashanah or Yom Teruah, you know, the Jews, Orthodox Jews purpose to have their name written in the book of life by repenting and purposing to do good deeds. So, you know, to care for the widow and the orphans, and to, you know, to give charitable offerings and those kind of things. You know, that's what they do. And so they purpose at this time to repent and seek forgiveness and, you know, make restitution with a relationship, so that, it will assure them that their name is written in the book of life for the coming year. But you know, that's why forgiveness is also an essential part of Rosh Hashanah. You know, we know that we have received forgiveness from God when we are born again, and our sins are atoned by the blood of Jesus. But, you know, how many of you know that there are times in our walk that maybe something we do, something we say, something that an action maybe offends someone, maybe we've done or said something that we didn't realize was offensive, or something that we've done. Sometimes we do realize that we've done it, and there's just something there. So, you know, Rosh Hashanah, this time, and the beginning of the new year on the biblical calendar, on God's calendar, and these 10 days of awe, it's about looking inside and introspection and searching our hearts first and foremost, that nothing will hinder us in our relationship with God, that everything is okay between us and God, that our hearts are clear and right. But also we ask for forgiveness from those that we have offended. And we also, you know, sometimes we are wrong. Sometimes we have been offended by others, and or someone has done something to us. And so we forgive them. We also extend forgiveness to those that have wronged us. And so, you know, the whole idea and the goal is to make sure that our relationships are at peace with others and not just with God. And so, you know, the common phrase during this time is, may your name be inscribed. That's what is spoken and said during, you know, during the Rosh Hashanah and during Yom Kippur when they meet in the synagogue. That's what they say to each other, may your name be inscribed, because that's the ultimate goal, is having their name inscribed in the book of life. And so, you know, we know that our names are written because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And of course, you know, we want to make sure that everything is always daily right between us and God. But again, you know, God knows that we get distracted and we get caught up. I don't know about anyone else. Those of you that are watching from our home church, you know that I've said it's been a season. It's been a pretty challenging spiritual season for myself, and I know for a lot of others. And so, it's easy to get distracted. It's easy to get caught up in things, and we can forget about those things that are important. But thank God that His grace has allowed us to come to these times of year that we remember, just like, you know, how we celebrate, you know, resurrection. The Bible doesn't tell us that, but, you know, when we come to that season in the spring, we remember, you know, it causes us to remember the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it's a good thing. There's nothing religious or stiff-necked about it. And so, you know, God set these holy days so that His people would meet with Him, right? He set these days. You know, the Bible tells us that they're perpetual. They're set forever. And He done that so that we can meet with Him, and you can count on Him always being there, Him always being ready to meet with us in these times. And there's, you know, I won't go into a lot of it, you know, there's spiritual windows that are open during the season, and covenant blessings and things are released during this time that aren't released other times of the year. It doesn't mean that God doesn't work and God doesn't do it. It's just He has set these times and these appointed times. And so we know that God sets these times for us to meet with Him. And when, you know, when God's people showed up, when they were obedient and they were, would follow through with the laws and even the rituals during this time of year, there were physical blessings that was a result of their obedience. You know, those physical blessings, first and foremost, was provision, rain for their crops, and provision for the fall harvest, and then going into the winter months and preserving and having enough to store up, and then moving into the spring months when the spring rains. And so it's having that favor and that blessing and not having to worry about whether God was going to bless or not, because you knew, they knew that they would receive forgiveness and grace on the Day of Atonement. And so they could celebrate at Tabernacles and Sukkot in taking joy and knowing that there was provision and there was blessing coming. And so there were physical blessings for their obedience, but we also have to understand that there were prophetic implications that had spiritual purposes. And so, you know, they didn't see those at the time, but we now can see those. And so the physical blessing of Rosh Hashanah is great, but the spiritual blessing is actually the most important. And so I forgot to mention, I'm going to be finishing up here. I'm not going to keep you too much longer, but I forgot to mention, I mentioned it in the post, but if you're there at the house, again, welcome everybody. Let me just pause here and say, if you've joined since we've started, I welcome you. Thank you for joining with us tonight. Our church had to be, our midweek service had to be canceled because we don't have water in the building. The city had to shut it off to do a repair, so we had to cancel service. So I'm coming live just to share some things that are on my heart. But if you have an apple and have some honey there at your house, and if you are willing, I would encourage you to, if you haven't already, to maybe go grab that apple, and just, cut yourself, like, just all we need is one slice, one wedge like this, and just, a little bit of honey, less than a teaspoon of honey. If you have that, and, that's at your house, and you haven't done all that already, And you can go grab that real quick. And maybe you can take the phone with you and continue listening, but go grab that and have that ready if you would like to. We'd like for you to, but I forgot to mention that at the beginning. I apologize. So again, we're talking about Rosh Hashanah. We're talking about the fall feast. We're talking about the days of all as we're moving into leading up to the Day of Atonement or Yom Kippur. And so we talked about how the physical blessings of Rosh Hashanah, they're great, but there are spiritual blessings that are there, and they're prophetically implicated when God set these up. He had all of this in mind, even us and you and I, and even beyond this season and beyond this year, our 2024, now going into the year 5785 on God's calendar. And so, you know, the spiritual blessing is the most important. And so, you know, these appointed times that God has set for us, it aligns us with heaven's timeline. You know, I believe that when we gather together, I'm a firm believer, when we gather together in the sanctuary week after week for our services on Thursdays and Sundays, whenever you have service, I believe that, you know, it's a divine connection. I believe that it's important to be connected with in the spirit with heaven, to have the message that God intends for that moment, for that day, for that season, for those that are there, so that we can hear from heaven, not just to have a sermon or to preach something. You know, the word is good, but I believe that it's important to be connected and to be in alignment with heaven, so that we can, what we're doing here, and as we're moving and taking, you know, our steps, not only in our personal relationship, but in our destiny and the purpose for not only personally, but for the body of Christ, that we can be in alignment with what heaven is doing, so that we don't miss, or we don't have to redeem, you know, time and things. So these appointed times, they align us with heaven's timeline and what God is doing according to his plan and according to his purpose. And so, you know, now all of this knowledge, you know, we talked about the physical blessings, all of the knowledge that, you know, I think I mentioned on Sunday in our message about, you know, how when Paul was speaking, to the Jews, and he was talking to them about the times and the seasons. He said, I don't have to explain that to you, because of this you already know. They already understood that all of the seasons, the spring feast and the fall feast and the harvest times and the moon, the cycles of the moon, and you know, the aligning of the stars and those kind of things. They already knew that those were their signs, that God had set those things in the heavens so that they could keep track. So they already knew that there were that they were set and what they were about. So Paul said, I don't have to explain that to you. So they understood. And then, you know, when Jesus came and fulfilled, you know, the spring feast. We'll talk about that again, here in a few minutes. But, you know, in his coming and, living here, his ministry on earth and his death, his burial, his resurrection, and then his ascension back, to the Father on the right hand. And then, the coming of the Holy Ghost in the upper room, you know, he fulfilled the spring feast. They understood this. They saw the Messiah in this. And so when we add that knowledge, when we add their knowledge to our faith, then that brings fulfillment of God's divine plan. So now we can put our faith that we have in the work of Jesus and all that he's done into the knowledge of God's plan, how God has set these things up. Then it begins to allow his divine plan to be fulfilled in our lives, and we begin to see that. So, you know, we even understand that Jesus timed his earthly ministry according to God's holy days. We've already said that. Everything that Jesus did was pointing to a future happening, was pointing to something that was already set and God had planned. And he knew that he was going to fulfill the Passover, become the Passover lamb. He knew that he was going to be the first fruits of our resurrection. He knew that he was going to go and allow the Holy Ghost to come and the Holy Spirit to now come to earth and dwell in man. So he knew all of those things as he walked this earth. So everything that he did pointed to bringing us into that relationship with God and fulfilling that. So everything that he did in his earthly ministry was timed with God's holy days, his being born, all of those things that happened came into play. And, you know, if we look at Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, it's speaking about, you know, about worshiping in the seasons and in these holy days. And it speaks about worshiping in, you know, in Rosh Chodesh, which is the new moon, which is the first of the month. And, you know, Yom Kippur, or excuse me, Rosh Hashanah is, the fall feast is the only feast that actually began on the first day of the month. And so it was the only one that began on a new moon, on the first day of the month. And so, you know, it's speaking here about, you know, not to criticize those as they worship in these seasons and these times. And then verse 17 says, because they are a shadow of things to come. You know, when we think about a shadow, we often think about it being less than the original, but a shadow is really the same thing. You know, when my shadow is cast on something, you know, my shadow isn't something different. It's just an extension of me. It's the same person. It's coming from the same thing. It is just casting my shadow. And so it's the same thing. So, what the scriptures are saying here in Colossians, as Paul is speaking here, you know, Passover was a shadow. You know, the same blessing that came when they received the Passover lamb, right? When they killed the Passover lamb and they received that Passover lamb and that, you know, they offered that sacrifice at Passover. They remembered all that was done. You know, they received the blessing. They received the blessing because they received that Passover lamb. The only difference between then and now is it only lasted a year. Now it's forever. So it was a shadow of things to come because it was going to be fulfilled. And so it only lasted a year, but now it's forever. Then, you know, 50 days later was Pentecost or Shavuot in the Hebrew. We know that the Spirit and the fire fell on Mount Sinai and brought revelation at that first Pentecost, at that first Shavuot, when Moses received the commandments, when Moses actually received God's calendar, he received the timeline. The blessing came to them when they received that as truth and they received it as the source of power to live as God's chosen people. That's what made them God's chosen people, because they said yes to God's covenant. They said yes to the law. They said yes to the Torah, to his word, however you want to look at it. So, the blessing came when they received it as truth and a source of power to live as God's chosen people, but it only lasted for a short time. Now we have the Holy Ghost that empowers us, that anoints us, that gives us a revelation every moment of the day, because that power, the Holy Ghost, came on that Pentecost that Jesus ascended back to the Father after he was crucified and became the Passover lamb, fulfilled the Feast of Unleavened Bread when he was buried in the ground. Sin was covered, and his blood atoned. And then he rose on the third day, being the first fruits of our resurrection. So, you know, he fulfilled that. And so, that Pentecost, he fulfilled that Pentecost because the Holy Ghost came. So it was only for a time then. It was just a shadow. Now we have it, forever. It's something that lasts, forever. It's every moment of the day. We are now filled and we have that empowerment and that anointing that brings us strength and power and gives us revelation. So now, as we look at those being just a shadow, if they're all a shadow of things to come, then what's missing? What is missing now? Jesus died. He came. He was born. He came. He died. He rose. He went back to the Father. The Holy Ghost came. Pentecost was fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. Now what's left? The rapture, the second coming, and the marriage supper of the Lamb. What has not been fulfilled? Rosh Hashanah or Yom Teruah, the Day of Atonement, and Tabernacles. So they are a shadow of what? Of that which is yet to be fulfilled, which is the rapture, second coming, and the marriage supper. So we have the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, or Tabernacles. So this season of fall feasts are a shadow of the real thing. They're a shadow of what we are waiting for, of what everyone from the moment that Jesus ascended back and the Holy Ghost came and he said, as you see me go, you'll see me come again. So we've been waiting ever since then, the grace dispensation, we've been waiting. And so now these fall feasts are a shadow of the real thing. This is why they're perpetual. This is why they are forever, because they will be a fulfillment. The work that was done to get us here will never be able to be voided or nullified. Never will it ever be able to be taken away. No matter what happens, no matter who comes, who goes, what the enemy does, it'll never be able to be nullified and voided out. And for that, we're thankful. The blood of Jesus sealed it all. And it's going to happen just as sure as all of that was fulfilled from Passover to Pentecost. Jesus is coming back. He is going to come for his bride, spotless, without wrinkle, rejoicing. And then he's going to come again a second time. And he's going to, there's going to be final war and there's going to be judgment. And then we're going to be have the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we're going to have a time of peace in the New Jerusalem. So all that was done is simply, I think I said this on Sunday in our message, that, you know, it's all preparing us for the wedding feast. And so in the meantime, what we have to do is get ready and be prepared so that we don't miss what's coming. The Bible says that when he comes, he's going to come as a thief in the night. And while that's true, he's not going to come as a thief for those that are prepared, for those of us that are looking for him, for those of us that are ready, for those of us whose focus is on heaven and not on the things around us in the world, those of us who are meeting with him at these appointed times to get our hearts and our minds and our relationships and everything. We're not going to be caught off guard. Okay. We're not going to be, he's not going to come like a thief in the night for us. So, you know, now it's about being ready and about being prepared so that I won't miss what is coming. You know, we just started yesterday, began the first day of Tishrei on the Hebrew calendar, which falls again, in somewhere for us at the end of September, October. This year, it, fell on October the 2nd. Actually today, October the 3rd, I should say. So we just left the month of Elul. We know that Elul, you know, the 30 days of Elul leading up to Rosh Hashanah, you know, they sound a trumpet. They sound a shofar every day as a reminder of what's about to take place. So for 30 days, every day, there's been a sound that's been a reminder. It's get ready, it's coming. There's going to be a great trump sound. There's going to be a tekiah hagadolah, as it's said in the Hebrew. There's going to be, you know, that great shevarim, that sound that's going to be unlike any other sound. That sound's going to awake the dead. It's going to be enough to awaken the dead. And that sound is coming to awaken us. And so we, every day, we hear the sound of the trumpet to remind us that 30 days leading up. So we're not caught off guard. We're not surprised on Rosh Hashanah when that sound, that great trumpet is sounded. We're not surprised by that. So we're not caught off guard by that. So we know now, okay, now's the time to get things ready, because something is about to take place. We know that this is a time that the saying is, the king is in the field. The king come out of the palace and went into the field. No time of war, but a time of rest. And it was when he was in the field, when anyone could come near to him, and he would say, whatever you need, I'm here. And so for us, he is near to your family. He's near to your home. He's near to your mind. He's near to your spirit. He's near. He said, those that draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh unto you. So we're drawing near to him in this appointed season, and he's going to respond to us. And so the king is in the field. So it's an exciting time. And so the sound of the shofar at Rosh Hashanah is like the voice of God that's simply saying, make your heart right. Get things ready. Be right. Be ready, because I'm coming, and I'm coming for my bride. I'm preparing a wedding feast. All of this has been to get you ready. All of this has been to give you a sign. As I said, I believe that this year, Rosh Hashanah, the sound of the trumpet in the spirit, is not just to awaken the soul of the church, but to actually awaken the spirit of the world. We can look around and see the devastation. You think it's coincidental that all of these things are happening. The Bible says there would be floods and earthquakes in diverse places, and floods and things and happenings, and all of this that's happening around us. Iran attacking Israel at the eve of Rosh Hashanah. You think any of that is coincidence? No, I don't believe that. I don't believe in coincidence. No such thing in God's language. And so we have to see God is saying, look up, for your redemption is drawing nigh. So I want to encourage us tonight. I want to encourage you in this Rosh Hashanah, that I believe that the world is never going to be the same, that there'll never be a Rosh Hashanah like this year. And this year's Rosh Hashanah has changed the world forever, because prophetically of what is happening in Israel. This is a serious time. And these things that are happening here in the United States and North Carolina, and the devastation I just told you, typhoon hitting Taiwan today, pouring over 4 feet of rain on them, death and devastation and loss and high, all of this. Listen to me. Hear the sound. The voice of God is saying, prepare your heart. Make things right. Make your path straight. Get your relationship with God in order. Get your house in order. Get your relationships with people right. Make peace with everything. Nothing else matters. Anything that has no eternal value is not of importance. What matters now is being ready for that wedding feast. That's what all of this is for. That's what everything that Jesus has fulfilled and done and is going to do, the shadow of what is happening now, is so that we can be ready. God doesn't want us to get caught off guard. He doesn't want us to be left behind. And so I want us to pray, and you know, again, as I said, repentance isn't getting saved over and over again. It's saying, God, I'm returning to you. It's removing everything that hinders us from a full relationship, the fullness of our covenant relationship with God, and so that we can experience him as Jehovah Yireh, as you know, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Rophi, Jehovah Rapha, all of the things that he is and wants to be to us, you know, Jehovah Nisi, all of these things that God is. Jesus Christ has made it accessible, and we can meet with him. And so I just want to pray, you know, for God to help us, for, you know, a prayer of repentance, just to say, God, you know, David said, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. I repent every day. I repent daily for anything in my life. But I want us as a body to say, you know, to focus and say, God, you know, we repent. Anything that has hindered us, anything that has broken our step, anything that has broadened our path, anything that has halted our progress, anything that has caused us to waver or to make our path crooked, we lay that before you. We want to remove that. We want our path to be straight, because we want our hearts to be right. We want to be ready when the great trump sounds. We want to be ready when that time comes. And so, you know, I encourage you, and I just want to pray for us. And then I'm going to ask you, I just feel, felt led today for us to pray together as a corporate body. And I'm going to ask you to repeat some things after me, here in just a minute. But, if I could just take a second, and I'm about to let you go, about to finish up my life here. But if we could take just a second, I'd like to pray with each and every one of us. Father, we thank you today. God, we thank you for bringing us to this another time. We thank you, God, for bringing us to this another season of the fall feast, God, another Rosh Hashanah, God, another Feast of Trumpets, God, leading us, Lord, in the days of all, God, into a time of focus, of repentance, God, a time of returning, a time of going inside and, Lord, looking at anything that might hinder us. Lord, we repent of anything that has separated us from the fullness of our relationship with you, from the perfect will in our lives that you have for us, God. Anything that may have caused us to cause someone else to stumble, Lord, to not allowing the Holy Spirit's fruit to be in fullness in our lives, God, for anything that we've done in our flesh that has hindered us, that has separated us, God, from that full relationship, Lord, from the truth that has hindered our influence and our witness, God, forgive us of that, Lord. We just plead the blood and ask you, as we are before you, God, knowing that our names are written in heaven, that you even tell us to not rejoice because devils are subject to us, but more so rejoice because our names are written in the book of life. And we rejoice today that you have given us this opportunity again to make sure and to shore up our relationship. And Lord, if there's anything, anyone in our lives, Lord, any relationship that is broken that we need to make peace with, Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to make it known to us, reveal to us, God, if there's bitterness or resentment or unforgiveness or anger towards anyone, God, or offense in our hearts, God, that is, Lord, against someone, or that we have put cause to be in someone else's heart, whether knowingly or unknowingly, Lord, make it known, God, that we can receive forgiveness and we can give forgiveness, Father God, for that, Lord, just reveal it to us and help us to get our focus and not be distracted by all that's going on, God, but knowing that you have given us this opportunity to be ready because there is joy. We take joy in knowing that our names are written. We take joy in knowing that this world is not our home. We take joy, Father, in knowing that we're coming upon the shadow of that day of atonement, that day of judgment, that you will judge the righteous and you will judge the unrighteous and you will have the final say, and to which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. God, we thank you for that, that you're bringing us into the tabernacles or the season of joy, that soon and very soon you're coming to receive us, Father. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'd like for you, if that you that are with me, that are willing and that are there and that are praying, to just pray this, just repeat after me, in this time of teshuvah, of returning, of repentance, of time of Rosh Hashanah, again, going into the days of all as we're moving into, the fulfillment, the shadow of the fulfilling of what's coming. We know that, again, the physical blessings of Rosh Hashanah are there, but the spiritual blessings are even greater. And these are some of the spiritual blessings that we have because we understand that the Passover and the Pentecost has been fulfilled, and we now have atonement, and we now understand that the curse has been broken by the cross and by the blood. And we understand that, we don't have to wait for our names to be written, and we don't have to hope and sit in expectation and anticipation, but we know that our names are written, and we know that our sins have been washed and been covered by the blood. And so we have spiritual blessings now that are even greater in these fall feasts. And knowing that that we've been given, we've been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and we've been given the authority over the enemy. I just want you to repeat after me, and I want you to say, Satan, get out of my life, get out of my mind, get out of my spirit, get out of my body, get out of my home. Satan, get out of my family, get out of my finances, and get out of my future. Repeat that again. I want to repeat that. Repeat after me. Satan, get out of my life. Get out of my mind. Get out of my spirit. Get out of my body. Get out of my home. Get out of my family. Get out of my finances. And get out of my future. Because every curse is broken. Repeat that. Every curse is broken. And every blessing is received. Every curse is broken. And every blessing is received in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I believe that. Okay. I believe that with everything that's in me. And these are, again, the meeting with God and being able to do that. And so if we were together tonight, we would have taken communion as just as a symbol of our repentance and our obedience. But I also was going to have us, I've done this before, and that we've done this in the past, but it's been a few years since we've done it. But a tradition, it's not biblical, but it's a tradition that's been brought in over the centuries by the Jews in Rosh Hashanah. And again, there's nothing wrong with it. It's not religious. It's not harmful. It's no different than you putting up a Christmas tree, at Christmas time, or, you know, you fixing a turkey and all of the fixings on Thanksgiving, giving gifts at, you know, all of those things, right? You understand what I'm saying? And that is, eating apples and honey, the apples and honey. It is a tradition that's been brought in. And what it does is it symbolizes a good and sweet new year. And so, that's why I ask you to get an, if you have an apple and get an apple wedge, get that and get, I have a little bit of honey here on a plate. And I personally don't like honey at all. I don't like the taste of it, but I do this sometimes just because, again, it's a tradition, and I believe that God honors it. I believe that it's something that if our faith is put in with the knowledge and that doing that, God will honor our faith. It can't, there's nothing about it that, you know, makes a difference in our salvation or redemption. I think it just adds to, again, where we are in our faith. But the apples and honey, it tradition, it symbolizes a good and sweet year. The apples represent prosperity and abundance. They represent financial blessing. And I don't know about you, but Judah Tabernacle could use a financial blessing, could use a an abundance in a financial provision. I could use that in my life. And so the apples represent financial blessing, prosperity, and abundance, and the honey represents joy. So all they do is they just dip the apples in the honey, just like this, and then they just eat. So if you're there, you that are watching, if you have your apple and you have your honey, then we could go ahead and dip that, and then just partake. I'm not going to eat the whole apple because of, out of respect of you watching me chew on the live, but I will finish it. Excuse me. But again, that's just a tradition. We've done this before. In the congregation, it's been a few years, but just felt like doing it again this year. So there's a lot of sadness. There's a lot of devastation. There's a lot of things. It's heavy, right? And I'm about to end, again, reminding you to pray for North Carolina, for all of those that are dealing with the devastation. Pray for Now Taiwan, let's pray for Israel. We should do that every day. That should be something that you are committed to do as the body of Christ. But let's pray for Israel, especially with what's going on right now in Israel with the High Holy Day and the war and the attack. It's intensifying. Iran's leader has declared that he's going to avenge the death of the terrorist leader. That was his name slips me for right now. But anyway, let's pray for that. And so, you know, we have a lot going on here in the United States with our election. There's a lot of things, just the political climate, just the atmosphere. And it's really overwhelming. I'm honest, the thoughts of everything that's happening, seeing the videos and seeing everything that's going on and feeling it in the spirit. I feel it in the spirit. It's heavy. And so I get it. So it's a time of heaviness, but God has given us this, this season that we're got coming up, and he's given us permission in the midst of all of this devastation and loss to rejoice and to celebrate our redemption and to celebrate being ready and to celebrate the marriage supper that's coming up. And so he's meeting with us. And so we want to be there so that we can receive the blessings and the spiritual release that is here in the atmosphere. So let's pray. Let's pray and come together. So those of you from Judah Tabernacle, one last thing. Don't forget that Saturday is our fall family fellowship. It's from 3 to 6. At the church. If you are on Facebook, there is a post on there. I think I'll pin it tonight. So that's the top that gives the schedule for what's happening. We have some activities and things going on. So make sure you look at that. Come join us. We are asking for donations of bag candy, of just a bag of candy, and also a package of hot dogs and buns if you come. If you're, the kids are allowed to dress up, and if they do come, as in every year, we just ask that their costume not be anything evil, or gory, or, explicit, anything like that in nature. No demons, ghosts, goblins, witches, all of those kind of things, monsters, anything like that, nothing that leans over into that way. So we have a lot of things different this year. We have a chili cook-off. We have a cornhole tournament. We have our hayride. We have hot dog roast. We have apple chucking this year. We've got face painting. I don't know. There's just a few things going on. So come join us. 3 to 6, get on the Facebook and look at the schedule. We'll also have the schedule for you there when you get there. So God bless you. We love you. Yes, I do see Maranatha. So Maranatha, Jesus is coming. Be ready. And thank you again for joining with us. Pray for us. Pray for one another. And let's be prepared. Be ready. God bless you. We love you.